You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Live from Liverpool, The Dark Paranormal, Season 21.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Episode 8 of Season 21 of The Dark Paranormal. Now some of you eagle-eared listeners may have noticed on one of our previous episodes I labelled this as Season 22. Talk about getting ahead of yourself. But I will say this for Season 22, we have so many changes coming up that I'm very excited to tell you all about them, which I will do on our finale, just so you're more clued up on what Season 22 will look like. For example, we sent out a questionnaire to a number of listeners and asked for their feedback on both Patreon and on the main feed. And what we got back, we're implementing. Simply because, as always, this is your show. You come here to distract yourself from the daily routine of life, and also mainly because you're a fan of the paranormal. You want to know more about the mysteries that surround each and every one of us. And we want to make sure that you just get that. And that's as much as I can say right now, but believe me, changes are coming thick and fast for Season 22, and we have a major announcement for our season finale on episode 10. And when I say a major announcement, I mean a podcasting first. And I don't mean in terms of the show, I mean a world first. A podcasting first in the history of podcasting. So, I'm more than excited to share that with you on our finale. Though let's move on from teasing you about announcements yet to be made, and move on to today's episode. And it's an episode which stitches together eerie childhood confrontations, grief-tide visitations, and also a more modern take, as the paranormal seemingly does not want to let go of its grip on today's submitter. Also, the later aspects of the phenomena have corroborated witnesses. And we all know I appreciate a very good validator. Something which gives credence to somebody's experience. And I think you're all going to agree with me that today is a great start for our final three episodes of Season 21. Now, of course, before we get into that, a huge thank you to our wonderful team at Patreon who do allow this show to keep running. Now, we know the way the world is at the moment. Not everyone can become a Patreon, and that's absolutely fine. Any way you can support the show is massively appreciated. Simply pressing subscribe right now, it takes 3 seconds on whatever device you're listening to, helps the show. Leave us a nice review or maybe tell a friend. But for those who do wish to join Patreon, you can gain access to everything on the main feed before anyone else, ad-free. And you can also gain access to our Patreon-only podcast, Dark Bites. Doc Bites runs 52 weeks a year without break and has done for the last 5 years. And each episode's around 30 minutes in length. It covers numerous tales within. There are the shorter experiences we've received from listeners. And that entire back catalogue can be fully available to you on Patreon of well over 130 hours of experiences you won't have heard. And of course, right now, we're giving away a 3 weeks trial of our highest tier on Patreon. So, you gain full access to Dark Bites and that back catalogue. And if at the end of the trial, you don't want to carry on, you simply cancel, and you're not charged a single penny. But I think, hopefully, you'll stick around in what I believe to be genuinely the best paranormal community online today. And that's not created by me, that's been created solely by the community itself. That's how magical to me that place is. So, if you do wish to become one of our team members, head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal, just like the following wonderful new team members have. Mandy Fitzgerald, Chris Young, Inkpot God, Howard Grimshaw, Christopher Cruity, Cynthia Clark, Angie Hackett, Good Decisions, Chris, Jonathan Eason, Carlos Amaral, Teddy, Laura Irwin, Hugs and Kisses, Peter Joyner, Simon Gray, Home at Last, Andrew Britannia, Edward, Dr. B. Sandmar, Elizabeth Brightwood, and For Me 45. From the bottom of my heart, thank you all so very much. You keep the wheels turning on the show. And don't forget, if you can't become a Patreon right now, there is a free week trial sitting right there for you to use at your leisure, or simply opening your app and clicking subscribe takes 2 seconds, and that really helps us. But for everything you guys do, even listening to my words right now, I genuinely appreciate each and every one of you. Next week, for our penultimate episode, I'll go into more details about some of the changes we are going to make for season 22, but right now, it's time. Lower the lights. Make yourself comfortable. And most importantly of all, leave your disbelief at the door. As we listen to Chained to a Darkness. Hi, Kevin. I hope this email finds you well. I discovered your podcast around 2 years ago, and I immediately binged all of the episodes. It's now become my comfort show. I listen to it whenever I'm meandering around the house, doing one thing or another. I've been meaning to sit down and send in my experiences for a good few months now. It would be nice to get this out there to other people that have had similar experiences that won't brush me off right away. Now, I'm not a staunch believer. I'm not a skeptic. I normally try to assess all possibilities before jumping to a conclusion. Some things are beyond explanation, though, and I've had quite a few paranormal experiences throughout my life, normally close to someone's passing. Other than my mother, and now my partner, I've never really shared them with anyone. Previously, when I tried, I was always brushed off with people saying things like, "I'm exaggerating," or "I'm imagining things." If you do read this out on the show, I'd be deeply interested to know if anyone else has experiences similar regarding paranormal events after a passing, or if anyone has any experiences in the main location I will speak about. One of my very first memories is something very creepy, and I wish I was lying. Growing up, my family, my mum, dad and I, had lived mostly with my maternal grandparents, as both of my parents worked abroad periodically, before we eventually immigrated. My grandparents would take care of me when both of my parents were out of the country. This happened when I was around 4 years old. It was bedtime and I'd just gotten out of the bath. The washroom door was at the end of a hallway and adjacent to my bedroom. A little way down the washroom, there was a mirror. I was looking in this mirror, making faces, and I remember one of my front teeth was loose, and I was wiggling it back and forth with my tongue, deeply engrossed. I then hear my grandmother calling to me to come to bed. I knew I had to, but I still kept looking at myself, engrossed, if not transfixed, to the mirror. studying everything closely. I just couldn't pull myself away, even though I wanted to. I was just staring intently. Suddenly, my head whipped to the side. I felt a sharp, cracking pain across my cheek, as if I'd been slapped across the face. I remember my eyes instantly filling with tears from the sting, and my heart feeling cold with fear. I was inches from the mirror. There really wasn't much room for something to fall or hit me. It literally felt as if a hand reached from the mirror and slapped me, as stupid as that sounds. Well, I bolted it straight to my grandma. I tried to tell her, but she dismissed it as me being tired, and I wanted to believe her, as a child would. But I still haven't forgotten that shock to this day, some 25 years later. Then, about a year or two later, Dad was away and I was with my grandparents and my mother. Asher, my grandpa, passed away. He'd had a stroke whilst at work and was transported to the hospital, where he died a few days later. We got the phone call in the early evening, so I was still awake, but it was dark outside. My grandma instantly started sobbing, and my mother and I instantly knew why. One beat passed, and then we hear a loud cry from the front door. Not a human cry, a high-pitched, almost yelp mixed with screeching, and it did not stop. Mum and grandma, clearly frightened, call a neighbour for help. The neighbour's husband goes out to have a look, and there was a newborn puppy in a box on our front doorstep. Now, the property was fenced in and locked with a keypad. My grandma was frightened, too frightened to let it in, so the neighbour took it with him. I still think about this coincidence. Was it a sign? A newborn pup, right as my grandpa passed? I'm still angry that my grandma didn't let the dog in to this day. My grandpa's passing was such a shock to me, forcing me to confront mortality for the first time. I hadn't given it much thought beforehand. In the year after, the atmosphere of the house changed, but not in a paranormal way. It was just a new normal, without my granddad, and all the adults around me grieving. One day I'm watching cartoons in my grandma's bedroom, the one she would share with my grandpa, and the door was open, and I could swear that the door was swaying lightly in the corner of my eye. But when I would look directly at it, it was still. My eyes kept going from the screen to the door. I was so distracted by it that I sat up to look at it properly. And that's the very first time I felt a presence I couldn't see. It felt like something had sucked the air out of my lungs, and a weight was placed on me. Even though I was not familiar with the concept at that age, I felt like there was supposed to be someone there, in the doorway. But there wasn't. Next, I felt eyes boring into me. Immediately creeped out, I ran straight out into my grandma. Shortly after that, my mum, dad and I moved to Canada. And that was my last experience there. Any return trip to grandma's was without incident. I was in my late teens when my next experience happened. There was a family friend. He was older and kind of like a father figure to my dad. He had three kids around my age too, so I would spend a significant amount in their home. I lived with them for a full semester in my first year at uni, and at the end of my first year, he passed away. He'd had cancer for a while and had finally passed after a long battle. The night he passed, I had a disturbing dream. I was in this open park, one with a garden, a and a long trail that led to a dark, eerie forest in the distance. It was night, but moonlight gave good visibility. Behind me was a hill with a huge mansion-type house, brightly and warmly lit, loud laughter and chatter coming from it. It had such a warm feeling of home. The voices emanating from it were all recognizable. My family, my friends. On the other hand, the forest on the opposite side of the trail felt dark, scary, and intimidating. Not anywhere I'd want to be. And although it was just blackness beyond the shadow-cast line of the trees, I was still rushing down that path toward it. As I was following this family friend that had just passed. Although in the dream, it still didn't register that he was dead. I remember I pulled at his arm desperately, trying to hold him back, as he was insistently walking towards this dark forest. I was begging him to come with me, crying, but he wouldn't even acknowledge me. He shrugged me off, continuing ahead. In desperation, I followed him. As we were at the edge of the forest, he suddenly spun around and violently pushed me back. He screamed at me to go back to my mum and let him go. Screaming with such an intensity, I hastily doubled back. I'd never heard this tone from him before. I woke up gasping for air. What unnerved me when I woke up wasn't the dream itself. It was the part where he pushed me away and forced me to stop following him. It felt too sentient. Not anything like a dream or a nightmare, hence me bringing it up. I didn't want to say it, but it felt like in the dream, when I almost went to the edge with him, that was some crossing point to the other side. And that's why he forced me back. When I told my mum about the dream, she agreed. In fact, she voiced that opinion before I told her my feelings. However, she backtracked. She told me to cut it out, saying, "You're thinking too much." Basically, she didn't want to continue the conversation. This man's house was a second home to me. I was exceptionally comfortable there. But on returning, it was different. I got there and we all had something to drink on their front porch. I hadn't actually gone into the house yet, and I got up to go in by myself to use the washroom. The house was empty, and I walked into their foyer. They have a large plant that almost reaches the second floor of the house. It's a statement piece at their entrance. It's the first thing you see when you walk in. And again, for the second time in my life, I got that feeling. Someone is there. I know it. I'm not scared in a way that says I'm in danger, but I am scared of the oppressive feeling of being watched by the unknown. I forced myself to stay still and focus, despite my urge to run away. I slowly walked to the washroom, still feeling eyes on the back of my neck, the hair on my arms standing up. I used a different exit to go outside again. And when the hosts saw me, they all laughed, asking why I took the long way around. But I'm comfortable enough with these people that I told them the truth. And the mood changed completely. They look at each other, dumbfounded. It turns out after their dad passed, the kids had called a medium to come to their house for either a blessing or a cleanse. And the medium told them, their dad is clinging to that tree or plant in the foyer, and to take care of it. Well, I was speechless. To have something like that validated, it made me feel better. I knew it wasn't all in my head. Just 1 year later, in 2016, my dad had a sudden heart attack and passed away, very young. I was delirious with grief. I felt like I was robbed of him too soon. I was only just starting life, and he was my biggest supporter, my best friend. After his death, I was bombarded with the dreams of him. Some disjointed and fuzzy. It was definitely my subconscious trying to process the extreme trauma of what happened. But separate to those dreams, I began having this recurring, very frustrating dream. It was so real. Very different to all the others. I felt lucid. I knew what was happening, and unlike last time, I knew my father was dead. It was always the same. I would be with my father in our home. He'd be next to me or sat down facing me, completely silent. I would try to speak to him, try to say anything to get a reaction from him, and he would just look stony-faced back at me. A really really sad expression showing on his face. But he wouldn't say a word. Not anything. No response. Mute. Frustration would get the better of me to the point where I would bang my fist on the table. I'd start shaking him to get a response. I'd say mean things just to get a reaction. Nothing. Now, I'm not sure about many things in this life, but I'm 100% sure that I know those dreams were visitations from him. I just don't understand why he couldn't speak to me. The very last time I had that dream was the only time it changed slightly. He still didn't speak to me as usual, but this wasn't his usual self. Now he was old. He had white hair, wrinkled skin, as if he was 80, but he died at 41. It was the same situation, sat down, looking at me, letting me speak to him or at him, but no response again, though his expression had changed also. Still sad and haunted, but more at peace, if that makes sense. This last dream happened about 8 or 9 months after he passed, and it felt like the completion of something, in a way. After that, I didn't have any more visitations from him. I did dream of him, of course, but in a hazy, obvious dream way. Not one of those 100% real visitations he'd paid me previously.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
A few years on, and I just started dating my now boyfriend. We had a rocky start to our relationship, often arguing, breaking up, getting back together, etc. But whenever we would get into it, he would have something unfortunate happen to him, almost instantly, like an instant karma. It even became a little joke between us. He would say, "I shouldn't make you mad," and he would say he thought my father was watching out for me. All in good fun, of course. Or so I thought. I was at his house one night sleeping over, and we were going in and out of the kitchen to his backyard for a barbecue. It was a nice, warm night, and the relationship had finally settled. Life was good. We were having a lively conversation, the back door open, and I'm in the process of handing food to him, when suddenly in the back room behind us, we hear a loud knock. It was unmistakable and we both hear it. It was a pattern knock, one I instantly recognised. I had to look at him and ask him, "Did you hear that too?" He nodded. I was so shocked because I knew that knock. If my dad would ever arrive home from work late at night, he would knock in that certain pattern that only he and I and my mother knew. It was like a secret code so that my mother didn't have to open the door to people she didn't know at night time. I kid you not, it was the exact same knock that came from the back room, and there was nobody in the house. I explained this to my partner, which is when he finally told me about why he's been saying my dad is watching out for me. He said about a little over half a year after we started dating, he had a terrifying experience. He was in his garage working on some motorcycles, and mounted across from where he worked, there was a large mirror. He'd just hung up a call with me after a pretty intense argument. And he was trying to work, lost in thought, ruminating over our issues and trying to focus, when he felt something behind him. Looking up into the mirror, he froze, and an icy chill ran down his spine, because in the mirror across from him, he saw a dark, ominous figure stood behind him. He could make out no features and described it like a dark mass. He looked at it for a few breaths and then spun around, and there was nothing. Looking back to the mirror, whatever it was gone. But it shook him so badly. He said he instinctively felt and knew that it was my father. He said he was so terrified he even spoke out loud and apologized, promising he would take care of me and never hurt me again. And he kept this tale until we heard this knock. He didn't think I would believe him or even think he was crazy. I don't want to put my dad's memory in the position of maybe attributing things that aren't him. I just don't know. These are all little things that have happened to me over the years. But recently, I had my most terrifying encounter. My boyfriend and I travelled to Vegas, to the Luxor Hotel, to celebrate my birthday. We knew the hotel had a past. We'd heard about the weird things going on when doing research about the trip. But we didn't put too much weight in it. On arrival, the place was beautiful, but the atmosphere was so oppressive, we even commented on it to each other. But we put it down to the casino and the place we're in. It's not exactly a holy spot, if you know what I mean. We began looking up some of the history of the hotel and supposed hauntings came up. And this is where we might have effed up. The hotel is famously a pyramid. The interior is lined with hallways open on one side like a balcony to the casino and lobby below. We'd just gotten back from a day out, a bit tipsy, and we were outside the door to our room, reading about the hauntings, leaning on the railing and looking down. I'm not sure what possessed us to do this, but we started making fun of the ghosts, saying things like, "Here, ghosty, ghosty," and "Not so scary, are you?" Then went into our room and forgot all about it. A few days later, we're out and I had to stop by the room to change my shoes. My boyfriend said he'd wait in the car in front of the lobby to wait for me. Normally he'd have come with me, but we wanted to skip the very expensive parking fees. In a hurry, I kicked off my shoes and ran to the washroom to relieve myself. That's when I slowed down a bit and looked around, because that feeling came back. That oppressive stuffiness. But this time, it was accompanied by something else. I'd left the washroom door open, and I had the most intense feeling that someone was there, in that small space between the entrance and the washroom door. I felt a presence so strongly I began moving slowly, trying to be quiet, unnoticed. I stepped into the hallway, my heart pounding, with my eyes darting to the spot I felt something in. Nothing. I breathed out and cursed myself for freaking out, and I stepped boldly and went about my business in the room. But still, that feeling didn't leave me, eyes drilling into my back as I milled about the place. I got my things and hastily walked out of the room to get away from that feeling. I started quickly walking down the long pyramid hallway, still feeling uneasy. I had the feeling that there was someone behind me all the time, so I kept looking back. No one. I felt like a kid running up the basement stairs after turning off the light. I was coming up to the first corner to go into the connecting hallway, and suddenly, I hear fast footsteps coming up behind me, like someone's rushing me. In a rush of adrenaline, I bolt forward like I had a lion on my heels. I rounded the corner, clutching my purse to me. I thought, I'm about to get robbed. Looking back whilst running, I came to a confused stop. The hallway behind me was deserted, and I was high enough up that sounds from below were just a low lull. The footsteps stopped sometime after I started running. I tried to push my feelings down, calm myself, thinking the drinks from dinner had got to me, but still rushing to the elevator that was just around the corner. The whole time I walked down, I kept checking behind me. Of course, there was no one there, and though the heaviness was still there, I stopped feeling eyes on me, if that makes any sense. I still felt heavy and scared, but most importantly, alone. No more eyes. I composed myself, my hands shaking terribly. I went back to the car, trying to convince myself I'm just tripping out and the two shots I had at dinner didn't help. So I say nothing to my partner. Fast forward to the next day, again we have to go back to the hotel midway through our day to get something. But this time I insist he runs up and gets my stuff for me, and I'll wait in the car. I made an excuse about my heels or something. Again, I need to say I had not mentioned anything to him, and he didn't ask if something was wrong or if I'm okay, which he would have if he noticed I was off, so I thought I fooled him. He came down about 15 minutes later, looking shaken and a bit sweaty. As soon as he sits in the car, he looks to me and exclaims that he's not going back up there alone again. He said he went up like normal. When he got into the room and went to go in to pack some stuff, he felt someone behind him. He got a really bad feeling in his gut, like he was about to be attacked. Of course, that didn't make sense. He was alone. He took the ironing table we'd left open earlier and put it in between the front door and the room so the door couldn't close. He felt like he was about to be trapped or something, and had a feeling that something bad or violent was going to happen to him. He quickly grabbed the rest of the stuff and ran to the elevator, and I mean ran. He got on and said while he was in there, he felt someone in front of his face, inches away. He insisted this feeling was clear and unmistakable. I only told him about what happened to me after this. I wish I had the guts to tell him earlier. A day later in the afternoon, and we were getting ready to go out for the night. He was in the shower as soon as we got to the room, and I got to setting out our outfits for the night. The room had no overhead light source, only a few large lamps. I turned on one large lamp at the entrance, and another next to the bed where our suitcases were. I had my head down, sorting clothes, and in the corner of my eye, I think I see a shadow next to the entrance. I look up, nothing there of course, but at the same time the lamp next to the bed goes out. I get shivers down my spine, but go to the lamp to try and turn it on. Nothing. I plug it out and back in to try again, still it doesn't work. I think it's an old place, it's just broke. I don't let myself give it much thought, I turn on the other lamp on the other side of the bed, while yelling for my boyfriend to hurry up in the shower. Not because we were short on time, but because I was cold with fear. I could hear the water still running, but got no reply from him. I go back to what I'm doing, and after a while I hear the water turn off. I look into that direction of the hallway. This time, I do see it. A shadow. A darkness. I don't know what to call it. It wasn't a shadow projected on the wall either. It took up its own space in the room. It was floating-ish. It didn't have a distinct shape, like a person or anything. But it seemed like its center was so dark, it was sucking in light. It happened fast, and it was gone as soon as I blinked. The lamp that wasn't working before turned itself back on. Simultaneously, my boyfriend steps out of the washroom, still wet, and calls me into the washroom urgently. I'm obviously shaken and follow him. He points to the fogged-up mirror, but I don't see anything. He's incredulous, looking in between me and the mirror. He said that while he started to get out of the shower, he was looking at the mirror, and before his very eyes, in the condensation, it looked like someone took their palms and wiped two lines across the mirror to clear the fog. Not like he got out the shower and it was like that, as in he watched it happen. He panicked and ran to me, and in that time it took me to get to the washroom, the swipe was gone. The mirror was perfectly foggy, perfectly normal, no swipe. At this point he's begging me to believe him, and I assured him I did. And I told him what had happened to me at the exact same time. The shadow I saw, the lamp, it seemed to coincide time-wise with his experience exactly. We ran out of the room that night and didn't come back till the wee hours of the morning out of fear. We were sober for this, by the way. That night there was awful. It was so bad, we spent the bulk of the night down in the casino to pass the time, even though we knew we'd be exhausted for our flight in the morning. When we did lay down for bed, we left all of the lights on in the room. As we were drifting off, I startle awake, feeling off, and look around. Nothing there. My boyfriend is still sleeping beside me. So I try to fall asleep again, and as I'm drifting off, I hear the loud sound of someone clearing their throat on the other side of the room. I turn to look at my boyfriend. He's now awake too. I look at him wide-eyed, him looking back at me. We both heard this. We sit up, look around, calm ourselves, try to put it down to the air conditioning coming on or something. As we try to sleep once more, it happened again. Despite our anticipation, nothing else happened and we managed to catch some sleep. We woke up that day. Believe me, we couldn't be out of there fast enough. Even funnier, on the flight home, him and I were sat apart. I sat down next to a local lady and we made some small talk. I told her where we stayed in Las Vegas, and the first thing she said, "Oh, that place is haunted, you know." She said this completely unprompted, by the way. Thank you for reading, and I apologize for any grammatical mistakes I may have made. If you're interested, there's been a few experiences at my workplace that involve my co-workers. I can ask them for their permission to send them if you wish. Best wishes, Anonymous. Now, thank you, Anonymous, and of course I've named this person Anonymous because they did not include a name within the body of their experience. And again, just to reiterate, if you do want your name acknowledged for your experience, please include it within the body of your experience when submitting your experience, or I will assume you want to remain anonymous. But wow, the litany of paranormal experiences that you've described there makes me think, A, you have some sort of gift, but also your boyfriend has experienced two within the same experience, or should I say, within the same email. And it's a fascinating series of experiences too. I'm completely with you on when your boyfriend saw this dark mass, and you not necessarily wanting to attribute that and the fear it induced in your boyfriend to your father. And it will be interesting to know if your partner had any friends or family who passed over in recent years during that time that may have appeared to say to him in the same way, "That's not how you speak to a lady." But there are also that many things within this one email I could do a full hour picking things out and theorizing about them or asking questions. So for example, who's to say this dark shadow isn't a relative in the slightest or a friend in the slightest? Maybe it's an attachment to your boyfriend. Because could it be the same shadow that you also witnessed in the Luxor as he was in the bathroom watching condensation being wiped from a mirror? Does he have an attachment? Also, questions about your mother and grandmother's reaction immediately following your grandfather's death. There's obvious belief there. When they hear this puppy in a box outside and they call for a neighbour, as well as how quickly your mother wanted to shut down the conversation regarding the dream you had that featured your recently deceased friend heading towards the woods. And then there's the Luxor itself, which is obviously shaped like a pyramid. Now, you'll have heard me in the past talk about psychic games I used to play with my mother, psychometry, etc. One of those things was we found in a magazine the idea that if you make a paper pyramid and you place a blunt razor blade under that pyramid, it will sharpen itself if you leave it for a week. Now, we never got round to doing that, but it always sticks in my mind as something we didn't do. But pyramids are alleged to generate or escalate any sort of psychic energies, etc., within. So maybe the Luxor itself is something that just amplified your aggravation of the spirits when you made those mocking comments after a few drinks. There are so many different avenues that the reality of this can be that it's mind-boggling. But Anonymous, thank you so much for giving us episode 8 of season 21. And so, we'll end it there. Don't forget, you can sign up to our Patreon for a free week by either clicking the link in the show notes or going to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. And until next time, remember, whenever you're discussing the paranormal, always try to leave some of your disbelief at the door. And I'll see you next time right here on The Dark Paranormal.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.